Welcome back. It's Beyond the Box Score. I'm Dan Schneider. That's Jacob Gibbs and most underrated real life and fantasy football running backs. We are talking those guys today. For those of you who are new to our show, we did most underrated wide receivers for the fantasy football season and in real life last week. This is Beyond the Box Score, where you can come to get loaded up with some videos. We've got VODs on the page. You can check out our player profiles across the board. We've done quarterbacks, running backs, and receivers. And you can check out our live shows every Tuesday and Thursday. Jacob, how are you doing today, my friend?
I'm great, man. I'm fired up to be here. Good to see you. We got a lot to talk about today. We did the wide receiver version of this just last week and got the official Danometer. Oh, yeah, we wore tank tops. Can't forget that. Talked about Jalen Coker. So, you know, we're having a good time here. Running back is interesting, man. I feel like we've got like the top 20 or so at least locked in for like fantasy purposes, but also like real life. We don't have just a couple of years ago. I was like, are we going to be moving to all split backfields? Is kind of how it felt, you know? And like right now, it kind of feels like we have pretty clearly defined running back rooms across the league. But at the same time, you and I felt maybe this draft that we just had excluded, but we feel like we've had a ton of running back talent come into the league over the past few years. And so maybe some of them are kind of sleeping giants a little bit here, waiting to be unlocked if they get their opportunity, if that knocks this year. So we're gonna do our best to cover as many as we can. We're probably not going to get to the Jarquez Hunters of the world as much as Dan and I would love to. Today, but we will talk about as many of the running backs we've got to at least see a glimpse of at the NFL level, and which ones we think could do a lot more and maybe are still a little bit slept on, whether that's for fantasy purposes or for real life purposes. So I'm definitely excited to dig into all of it with you.
Yeah, and I got some sleepers at the end we're going to throw out there as well, a little honorable mention. So I'm excited about that as well. And MYBEC says, we need to get Dave in a tank top. Well, I'll talk to Dave, and maybe there could be something. I just did a podcast with Dave earlier. Maybe there could be something to get him to move in that direction. I don't know. We'll find out. But it's the tank top crew now on Beyond the Box Score and Fantasy Football Today. And let's start with our first and most underrated running back. And yes, for those of you listening along and watching live, please drop your favorite running back sleepers. And again, real life and fantasy, it's very different for most underrated, I think, at times, which we're going to get into today. But we're going to start with a player who I love that you brought up, because I watched your breakdowns of him throughout this offseason. And for those who don't know, check out Jacob Gibbs's Twitter. He does unbelievable film breakdowns on there and really thorough. I think my friend Aaron texted me on Saturday last weekend, Jacob, and said, wow, I just woke up to 9 videos of Gibbs breaking down tight ends on a Saturday morning. No one does it better than this guy. I said, you know what? No one does do it like this guy. So check those out. But this guy caught my attention, Ramondre Stevenson, who we're starting with, the New England Patriots running back, a forgotten man in some fantasy circles, but really in a lot of ways put together a much better season on tape and by the numbers in 2025 than I think a lot of people realize. So why don't we get into him first?
Ramondre Stevenson, yeah, man. I don't think anyone would have realized this, but Ramondre Stevenson was running back 10 in total explosives created. So gains of 15 or more yards last year, ahead of Saquon Barkley. That's where you find Ramondre Stevenson in total explosives. He played 14 games. He was splitting the backfield for a decent chunk of that, and he was 10th in the league at the running back position in total explosives. People think of Ramondre Stevenson as like a grinded out runner, and I think that's because he's been playing through injury behind some terrible offensive lines, and he's big, and so people just have that assumption about him. But I remember turning on the film for Ramondre, I think it was at Oklahoma, and being like truly blown away. I remember being so excited to show my brother him. I'm like, because he's just like the kind of running back I like. He creates after contact, creates extra yards, and he has really good vision. And I was like, I think this guy's going to be a stud, dude. And I don't remember where he got drafted. It wasn't very high. And I was like, man, maybe he'll never get to play. But then he did, and he broke out like early. I was like, yes, I knew it. I know what I'm watching. This is like really early in watching film for me analytically. And he's had a good career, but it's just kind of like flown under the radar. I think he now, with the whole Travion Henderson thing, people think of him almost more as a nuisance than anything, because like they want the Travion Henderson fully expanded role. But in reality, this is a really good player when healthy. And it's not just that he's able to create yards after contact and create between the tackles. He's also a good receiver. He's a very good pass blocker. And then he gave a lot of explosive plays last year. He was running back one in the percentage of his touches that resulted in an explosive play, tied with Devon Achane. Wow. We find Ramondre Stevenson. So I wanted to start with him because I think he's highly relevant for fantasy, mainly because of Trevion, because people don't know what to do with this backfield. They want to draft Trevion Henderson early, but I think more than any of the young running backs who like have a backfield counterpart, maybe not quite as, there's one other one that comes to mind right away. Now I'm going to throw him up on the screen here. It's Zach Charbonnet. We're going to talk about him today, him and Jadarian Price. But for me, Ramondre is at the top of the league. If you look at running backs who could be a thorn in the side of the young running back who everybody wants to get on the field, because I think he's very, very good and he's good at a wide variety of things. So I don't really know, unless there's fumbling issues, why he would come off of the field.
I think what stood out to me, the two things that stood out to me most about Ramondre Stevenson, one, what he showed in the passing game in his first year with Josh McDaniels. I think that was unexpected. And it was an ability as a route runner, an ability to adjust the football in the air, which were two things I saw from him on some wheel routes and just things of that nature. And then two was just the fit in the scheme for me, Jacob. Like, he fits what McDaniels wants to do up front from a power gap standpoint, in my mind, a lot better than Trevion Henderson fits that. And I move forward to this season, I'll say this, Jacob. At cost, it's a no-brainer for me. I prefer Stevenson to Henderson. I'll say this much. I think Stevenson will outscore Henderson this year in fantasy football, and I'm willing to bet on that.
That's a hot take. What I've got on the screen here is missed tackles forced per attempt. And this, again, is a stat that I just think points towards Ramondre being a lot more than just, your grinded out running back. He was running back five behind Kenneth Walker, Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs, and Cam Scadaboo. I think Walker's super underrated too. I think we could see a massive season from him in Kansas City. But we're not going to talk about him in detail today. So yeah, Ramondre, right up here with the best of the best. Jaylen Warren, Zach Charbonnet, and J.K. Dobbins here are three others that we're going to talk about today. Blake Corum could be on this list. I don't know if we've seen quite enough yet.
Honorable mention for me.
Yeah, I was going to say he's a Dan Schneier back. He looks good in this metric as well. Chris Rodriguez, another Dan Schneier back that could be on the list but isn't. But some of these backs who really do a great job creating more after initial contact and being able to work through kind of muddy situations. I could see him outscoring Trevion. I don't want to make that bet just because Trevion can get his fantasy points so freaking fast, dude. You know, like Madre has to work his butt off for like three drives to make up what Trevion could do in one play. But I definitely think he's worth mentioning today. I wanted to lead off with Ramondre. So I'm curious for fantasy purposes where he's at for you. I do think he's probably a little bit underrated, but what does that mean in practice? Like, how aggressive are you actually getting in drafting this player? There could be upside, right? Like, what if, we always think, like, what if Ramondre fumbles or what if Ramondre gets hurt? What could that mean for Trevion? What about the inverse? You know, what if Trevion were to get hurt? Right. What if Trevion struggles in pass protection or whatever it is? And we saw last year them down the stretch in the meaningful games go to like almost all Ramondre. What could that mean if this offense continues to be really high powered, if the offensive line is better this year than it was last year, if AJ Brown adds an element, they score even more or something, like what could it be for Ramondre? I've got him at running back 27. So that's just ahead of Kyle Manongai, and then these two I'm irresponsibly high on, Bill Kroski Merritt and Jonathan Brooks. But then some of these other backs we'll probably talk about today, like Tony Pollard and the Pittsburgh running backs, J.K. Dobbins, Chuba Hubbard, Blake Corum, we already mentioned. I've got Ramondre ahead of all of them, and I've got him behind Trevion, David Montgomery, Jadarian Price, but the difference between him and Trevion really isn't like that huge in my mind. I'm curious what you think, Dan. Does this look about right to you?
It looks about right, and I guess I was a little bit unaware of how high he was in relation to where Henderson is ranked. I thought there was a little bit of a bigger gap, but I still
there's a bigger gap. I'm two spots below consensus on Henderson, so they have him at running back 22. And I'm four spots above consensus on Ramondre, so he's at running back 31.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. These are your rankings. I get that confused sometimes. So yeah, I think this is pretty fair. I don't think I would take him over Price. I know I wouldn't take him over Montgomery, who I would definitely take over Henderson, for example. And I don't think I can get him over those other guys above him. We're both higher on Bucky than consensus. So yeah, it's fair. It's a fair range. I just feel like it's a good value play here. Again, much better back than people realize, both on film and as you outlined by the numbers, in a good situation on a good offense. I don't really see what's to not like about Stevenson.
All righty. So do you want to give us a danometer? We got the danometer for the receivers. You want to try that at running back?
We're going to do it. We're going to start with a 9.3 here. He's one of my highest guys. I mean, you went over it. Look at the numbers.
Yeah, that's very high. Okay, we'll get 9.3 for Ramondre Stevenson. And we can always... we can always adjust these as we go along. Next up is Javonte Williams, a Beyond the Box score special from last year. Really fell into a fantasy-friendly role and did well with it. I'm curious how Javonte feels to you. Do you think he's still somebody who's a little bit underrated? That's definitely what my rankings show. Okay. I've been surprised how consistently high I have been compared to consensus, even with moving some guys ahead of him. So I think I'm going to move Kenneth Walker ahead of him, which would move Javonte down to running back 12, and still I'll be three or four spots above consensus on Javonte. They've got him as running back 16, more in like a round 3-4 range, I think. What do you think about Javonte for fantasy drafts this year?
I'm not as high on him this year. I think he was printing money for us in fantasy last year. We were early on him with Beyond the Box score, and he was a gem for the beginning of the season. The injury took a little away from that. My issue with Javonte this year is I'm not, versus a player like Stevenson, I'm not all as high on what he's going to be able to do from a passing game standpoint. And if that's not a huge part of his game this year, and getting, that's just for me, I think Flournoy takes a step forward, fully healthy Lamb, fully healthy Pickens. There's just fewer targets going to Javonte. It does come down to, is he scoring the same amount of touchdowns as he was last year, which he probably has a better chance to than a player like Stevenson, for example. But I just think in the range you have him, I'm taking Barkley over him. I'm taking Walker over him. I'm taking Jacobs if he's cleared from all the off-field stuff over him. And I'm debating taking a player I really like Swift over him, just because it feels to me like what I saw on film from Javonte wasn't as impressive as what I saw from some of these other players we're going over. You're muted, Jacob.
Thanks. The stat that I like with Javonte is the efficiency of movement stuff that I've referenced. Like when talking about Kenneth Walker, he very much just like gets straight ahead.
Yep.
And maybe that's not going to amount for anything super meaningful for fantasy because he doesn't have massive explosive play ability or receiving, massive receiving upside like we might want from some of these running backs drafted in this range. But to me, he kind of just profiles similarly to a lot of these Henry, Walker, Barkley, Jacobs, Kyron Williams types. And I think he might be the best of them in terms of what we can expect on the ground. I think Dallas probably... So this is a crazy stat I found, man. I'm going to find this real quick and put it up on the screen. The Cowboys, I was looking up for Ben Johnson purposes. The Cowboys are second in fantasy points produced as a team over the past four seasons.
And overall, gotcha.
There's been no let up with Schottenheimer taking over in 2023. So he's been there for three seasons. The pace remains the same. Second behind only Ben Johnson during his Detroit-Chicago crossover. Ahead of Cincinnati, San Francisco, Kansas City, Mike McDaniel, Miami, Sean McVay and the Rams. This has been a fantasy point print shop in Dallas. And yeah, like a lot of that's going to go to the receivers, of course, but they did improve their defense significantly this offseason. So if that comes through in a big way for them, then maybe we see even more advantageous situations for Javonte with one of the best lines of, you know, any of these running backs that go in this range. I don't know. I know he's like he's not as good as Jonathan Taylor or whatever, but like he's not a bad player. He's 25. It's possible that now he's the healthiest he's ever been and we'll continue to see him be an effective runner. He was at the very top of the league in yards after contact per attempt. This is per the Fantasy Points Data Suite. He was the very only James Cook got positive yards on a higher percentage of his runs than Javonte last year among qualified running backs. Only Bijan Robinson averaged more yards after contact per attempt among qualified running backs than Javonte Williams. He runs hard.
Yeah.
I think if he's got a good line, then that's just going to work, you know, and teams have to play the pass against this team. And I just think that's going to work. I don't know ultimately what the upside is. It's going to probably come down to touchdowns.
It will, but I think I've come around to it based on the case you've made because the touchdowns should still be there. And I was thinking about it a little bit when you were bringing it down. I also expect the Cowboys offensive line to be healthier and a little bit better up front as well.
Yeah. All right. The next guy I want to talk about before we hit our first break here is Rico Dowdle.
Oh yeah.
I'm really curious what you're doing.
What an amazing back on tape.
what you're doing.
Seriously,
no. I know. It's just funny because like he truly came out of nowhere. I remember the year where it was him and Zeke were going to be the backfield there. And I was right. like, I legitimately don't know who to bet for because I did all this digging on Rico Dowdle. And what I found was that he was like a below average running back within his own college backfield. He was sharing a backfield and he was the less productive player in the backfield.
He's one of the rare guys that got better in the NFL.
So. Yeah. He's just a dog. Yeah.
And better as he's gone in the NFL too. Like what I saw from him last year in Carolina, I thought was better than what I saw from him in Dallas. It was different, but it was better. There was more power to his game and there was more explosiveness. It was odd.
For sure. So he's reunited here with Mike McCarthy. You are tentatively in on this offense producing more volume than we've seen during the Arthur Smith era. I'm curious what you think about Dowdle because I do think Warren profiles as the guy who's likely to benefit more from the Aaron Rodgers checkdowns and everything and probably take over some more of that passing downs role that Kenneth Gainwell had last year. But I do think Rico can play on passing downs too. So nobody really knows exactly how it's going to be split here. Do you have any thoughts on Dowdle for fantasy purposes?
I mean, it just goes to show how deep this running back position really is, right? A player like Dowdle, there is a case to be made, and he's RB31 in your rankings, and that's about where he is at ADP. Because the case, the boom case is the Steelers have done so much to improve that offensive line over the last few draft classes in the last few years. And their offense, I think, in general, like you mentioned for me earlier, I believe it's going to be more high scoring. The problem for me is, like, I do think this offense is going to look a lot different. Like just if you're talking about the biggest difference from year to year, from one team to the, one season to the next offensively from a schematic standpoint, I think Steelers are number one by far going from Arthur Smith to Mike McCarthy. And in that change, I believe they're going to be a lot more shotgun heavy. They're going to be a lot more three receiver heavy, 11 personnel. And it's going to be more about just getting Rodgers in the gun, identifying the matchup and getting rid of the ball very quickly. I don't know how much that benefits a player like Dowdle. His best work in my mind was when Carolina went really run heavy and they kind of leaned on him and they used heavier personnel and different packages to kind of generate their offense through the run game, which I just don't see the Steelers doing this year personally. I could be wrong about that though. So for me, I think he's more of a fade just because I don't really trust the direction of that offense for a run game.
Okay. So he might almost be like only if there's a Jalen Warren injury is kind of where I'm at with Rico. Yeah. I don't know though, because I do think I love Jalen Warren to death. He almost reminds me of Khalil Shakir, where it's like, I know this guy's so good. And anytime he gets opportunities, he proves that he's so good.
Yeah.
But for some reason, his offense, his team, multiple coaches continue to try to like put him into a smaller role.
Right.
And maybe it's because he's literally just a smaller guy, kind of like Shakir, where it's like he's had a lot of injuries and stuff. Maybe they just don't think he's somebody who can handle more work. But all that to say, it wouldn't surprise me if we get to week one and Rico has like 2/3 of the playing time it touches.
Okay.
Because McCarthy has talked glowingly about him. And Rico is Warren is the man. And we'll get into some advanced data on him. He looks really, really good every opportunity he's had, even while he's playing through injuries. But Dowdle is the bigger guy. Like, it wouldn't surprise if he just feels like the alpha in the room and the guy that they went to get and has familiarity with the coach and comes out and leads the way. But likely it's probably going to take an injury to Warren would be my guess. But if there is an injury, I do think Rico clearly has shown that he can handle the workload. What I've got here is a made up stat called horsepower rating. And it's the percentage of games where the running back accounted for at least 1/3 of the offensive scrimmage yards. Like, can you really run your offense through this player?
Yeah, I like that.
Him and Warren both had basically 25% rate last year, which puts them right in between Jahmyr Gibbs and James Cook. Mm. So that's really respectable work for two guys that had to share their backfield at times. I just wanted to point them out because they're among the guys we're going to talk about today. They're the only ones on this list. Well, spoiler alert, Tyrone Tracy had a 20% rate.
Yeah,
that's kind of weirdly high. I'm curious to get your thoughts on that.
Scatter injury related, yeah.
Yeah, dude, but that's higher than Chase Brown. That's higher than Javonta Williams.
True.
That's pretty high. That's kind of weird to have 1/3 of your offensive scrimmage yards. Like, that's pretty impressive stuff for a running back. I wanted to point that out. With Rico, we know that he can do that if needed. And then last year, while having to do that, he was actually still pretty efficient. He averaged top 10 rate in yards after contact per rush. He finished the season running back 14 in explosive touches. He tied with Travis Etienne and DeAndre Swift in explosive touches. And then my favorite stat on Rico, and we'll go to break after this. Rico Dowdle has the best conversion rate in the NFL on inside the five rushes over the past 3 seasons. The highest percentage of those touches that have actually resulted in a touchdown. And I think that that will clearly be his role here in Pittsburgh. So if the offense surprises us and is a little bit better, then maybe he gets those. But again, I think this is, you know, Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers playing the hits. I think it's going to be pretty pass heavy in the in the red zone. That's what Rodgers wants to do. So likely not a very fantasy friendly role, which is why I'm ranked where I do. But I could see an outcome where, whether through injury or maybe just surprising backfield distribution here, where he does end up mattering more than we expected, because he's been so good when he's been given opportunities.
Yeah, that's fair.
All righty, we'll hit our break. We've got about 6 running backs to get to after this, all of which I think could be meaningful for fantasy. Some of them are more Jacob Gibbs, just hopes and dreams, dart throws at the end that you guys probably could guess. But we've got some more meaningful ones here to talk about right after this break. Okay, first one I want to talk about is J.K. Dobbins. I'm curious where you're at on Dobbins, Dan.
He was my heart.
Yeah, running back 12 in explosive plays per game last year, running back 7 in explosive play rate. So he keeps on doing it, even late in his career. Had a 20% missed tackle forced rate, which is pretty good, pretty solid. Really impressed that he's been able to keep doing this even with the injuries. Do you feel like he has another year in the tank?
I do. I mean, he's near and dear to my heart, as I mentioned, because he was one of the first calls I think I had on this show way back in the day when it was just me, you, and Adam doing it on a Monday and we didn't have this show. I was like, watch this tape. And this was before he signed with Denver. Look at the way he processes. And that's really the difference when it comes to a player like Dobbins. Why you see all those stats and numbers that you just brought up bearing out the way they are, it's because he sees the game really well. And that was especially true last year for a Broncos run scheme that was not really effective in my mind whatsoever. They're going to have to retool. And I'm excited to see if Davis Webb will play a part in that as their new OC, like retool their run game entirely in my mind. But he was able to get the most out of a run game that wasn't all that successful from a blocking or a schematic standpoint. And it just goes to show what he's been able to do his whole career, even dating back to what he did at Ohio State. He understands how to process these runs behind the line of scrimmage, how to set up his blocks, and when to go. And that's been his game, even without the athleticism, the same way it was at Ohio State in his early Ravens days. He's still able to maximize his runs. He reminds me in a lot of ways of what Javonte Williams did last year with the Cowboys, just a little bit quicker and a little bit faster at processing and getting through. So I think Dobbins, if healthy, will continue to be the best running back in that backfield, better than Jonah Coleman, better than RJ Harvey, and probably the most reliable player for us from a fantasy standpoint.
5.2 yards per rush over his career.
That is the most insane stat in the world.
I've been so upset that Jahmyr Gibbs and Devon Achane are so good, because it used to be like easy for me to not even have to look this stat up and just say J.K. Dobbins leads the league in yards per rush since entering the NFL. But now these guys come in and they just average 6 yards per carry like it's nothing. And they make Dobbins look like he's just mid here with his 5.2 yards per rush. Here's where I've got him in my rankings. It's just behind the Pittsburgh running backs. I think that there's an upside for a lot more, because, I mean, look at the teams that he's ranked in the similar range to. It's Carolina, Pittsburgh, Tennessee, Washington, and then Denver. You know, like, this offense could be a lot better than these. And he, I do think, is going to be the lead back out of the gate. I don't know exactly what the role will be, which is why he's ranked here. And then obviously there's the injury risk. But it wouldn't surprise me at all if 3-4 weeks in, J.K. Dobbins is your running back 12 in fantasy.
Yeah, I think he's a good buy at the beginning of the season. It's a matter of if he's staying healthy or not, but you're at the price point you're going to get him at, you're not really, you're paying so little that it makes sense in my mind from an investment standpoint.
Anybody who I have ranked behind him who you would clearly take ahead of Dobbins? It's Chuba Hubbard, Blake Corum, Tyrone Tracy, Kenny Gainwell, RJ Harvey?
No.
Nothing here? You're taking Dobbins over all of them?
Dobbins over all of those players.
All right.
Chris Rodriguez, if he's healthy for camp, maybe. That's the only one I'd consider.
Chris Rodriguez would definitely be pushing up this board if healthy, for sure. We've got some crazy stats on Rodriguez. Alrighty, next up, somebody who I've ranked much higher than this is...
I do think Ethan Gilworth in the comments made a funny comment that may just be true. Is Denver might just have the most miserable backfield of all time. It is. I need to see it in Denver. It used to be so good with Sean Payton. I'm wondering what happened there, because they don't really have that much. Their O-line should be good on paper as well from a run blocking standpoint. So I feel like it still could be, but it wasn't there last year for Denver.
I want to talk about DeAndre Swift, who I have ranked ahead of Jeremiah Love.
I love DeAndre Swift.
Now. Feels kind of crazy. Running back
ahead of J Love. Interesting.
Running back 23 for consensus. I have him at running back 16. I love the team setup here. I think Swift is a huge part of it. This is, I mean, like I said earlier, I gave this stat in reference to Brian Schottenheimer. Ben Johnson's number one in fantasy points produced at these skill positions over the past 4 years. So since he took over, since he started doing this, he's number one. I think the Chicago offense is just going to be better than it was last year. They've got Maulers up front. This is the best run designer in the league. And DeAndre Swift really improved last year. I think he's going to play on passing downs. As long as he doesn't get hurt and give Kyle Monongai the window to become like the 1A, because Monongai's really, really good. I really do think he's a great runner. And if he gets an extended window, Monongai, to like show that, then it might be a kind of uncomfortable split between the two where it's pretty even most weeks, or maybe even leans more towards Monongai in terms of touches and red zone looks. But my expectation is that it'll look pretty similar to what it did last year and towards the end of the year too, where Swift has a clear lead back. And I think that was really good for fantasy and could be even better this year because I think the offense could be better.
Yeah, I'm with you on Swift. Swift proved a lot to me last year when we broke down a lot of the Bears tape. I think he's just done so much better of a job of processing than he was earlier in his career. And it's interesting because Ben Johnson was the guy who was with him in Detroit when he kind of fell out of favor there. And I just like to see that evolution, right? Like, he was taken off the field with Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson didn't love the way that he ran. Got him back, understood that there was talent there that can be developed within his scheme. And now he's running behind his scheme like a player who, in my mind, looked at a lot of ways like David Montgomery at times with the Lions, just understanding where to go in this offense, where to go within this run scheme, behind this run blocking. I think that's just going to continue, right? Like, what's going to stop him from getting better within this scheme? Nothing really. And then he plays all the 2 minute stuff, and he plays all the 4 minute offense as well. Anytime they go tempo, he's in the game. So he's a good back. Obviously not a lead back like Love could potentially be. I see you said you had Love behind him and Scadaboo maybe as well based on last year, but in a better offense. And like you said, on a team with an OC that produces a lot of points on the ground and with the skill players.
Yeah, man, I'm uncomfortable with him above those two or even two. You know, like pass
the upside. Yeah.
Past versions of me, like, so clearly would have Scadaboo and Love ahead of Swift. But I do feel like he's safer, and there's still a very clear path to upside. I think that he could score 12 touchdowns easily in this offense, could score even more than that. And he gives you explosive plays. Last year, he was like Mr. Consistent for the Bears, which was awesome to see that evolution for him. But he also was top, I think, top 12, maybe top 15 in total explosive plays at the running back position, too. He's good, and this is a great fit. I think this is just the cheapest way to get exposure to this offense, really. Like, you have to pay a premium for Caleb, for Loveland, for Luther.
True.
I think that's fair because I think there's massive upside for all those players to become like fantasy superstars. You don't have to pay a premium for Swift. He's the like safest, easiest way to get exposure to this because you know exactly what his role is. And then there is upside for more if he gets lucky with touchdowns or if Monongai gets hurt. That's something I brought up before that I don't think people ever talk about is like, Monongai runs like a crazy person. He runs like he learned from Isaiah Pacheco when he was in college, which he did. You know, like, he really does run like a crazy person. I hope that he stays healthy, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if he does not stay healthy, in which case all of a sudden Swift is going to have what, like 60-70% of the snaps, you know, and the touches. That's a monster role. If you get that kind of a role for this kind of an offense, that puts you up in the Chase Brown range. That puts you up here. Like, and I just don't think that people really think about that kind of upside existing with him. I think he's just way, way, way too cheap.
Right.
All righty. Next up is little buff boy, Jaylen Warren. He's the man. He's been on this list since he entered the NFL. And if my freaking True Media page would load, I can show you why I'm so high on this guy. Jaylen Warren, this is the past 3 years of data. We've got, I highlighted a few of the guys we're talking about today. He's running back 5 in yards after contact per rush. James Conner is the only non-superstar ahead of him, which, shout out James Conner as a dog. If he's ever able to get himself healthy, maybe he can pop back up on these types of lists for us. He's running back 2 in avoided tackle rate. Jaylen Warren has been so good. And like I said earlier, that's with him playing through injury in a lot of these games because he has to. He'd like to hold on to his relevance in the NFL. It feels like he always has to give his absolute all, and he does. He just keeps doing it. I freaking love this guy. I don't know how much it will matter for fantasy, but we've seen flashes of it where he can handle a bigger workload and be productive for fantasy, especially in PPR formats. So I unfortunately come in low on Jaylen Warren, which I never want to see, but I'm not super high on the Pittsburgh offense. But again, you've got contingent upside if something were to happen to Rico Dowdle, who also runs like he's a superhero and can never be hurt. And so if anything happens, then Warren has like basically all the work unless Caleb Johnson factors in here, which I don't expect. And then even if it's a split backfield, it's possible that Warren has a more meaningful role because of the passing down work.
Yeah, Warren's a player who has been a big beyond the box score guy for a while because he's just been really good on tape. And then as you broke down by the numbers, it's just a situation here with him and Dowdle where I don't know if I'm buying into this backfield overall for fantasy. So I'm probably right there with you. I think in this range, it's kind of pick your poison, who you like more. I'd probably take him over a player like Pollard, but I don't know if I take him over a player like Bill or Brooks because I see a lot more upside with those two.
I was going to ask you about Pollard. The chat is bringing up Pollard as one of the most underrated backs, and he's kind of like Warren where he looks really good in a lot of advanced metrics. He's played through injury.
Right.
He's been the only show in town on some of these offenses, and he's just kept grinding it out. Maybe his offense takes a step forward. I'm not sure what to do with Pollard. I'm not really drafting either of these two very much.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you.
Another good one from the chat here before we take our second break. I just want to let it be known that Javonte Williams is currently projected for more rushing yards than Jonathan Taylor is. This is from Ethan Gilworth. I don't know exactly what he's citing. I'm assuming it's sports books or something. But that wouldn't surprise me, right? Like I almost brought up JT's name earlier when I was comparing him to the other running backs who don't have receiving roles because on paper, they look very similar, and I like JT's offense, or I like Javonte's offense a lot more than JT's. I just didn't really feel like comparing Jonathan Taylor and Javonte Williams because Jonathan Taylor. But yeah, I get it, and I do think Javonte is very underrated. I think Jonathan Taylor's a little bit overrated, dude. I've got him down at running back 8 right now. I hate when I do this because it's like, here comes the Saquon year. This is what always happens. And I'm like, on paper, it doesn't look that good. You know what I mean? And I start moving other guys ahead of him. It's like, no, he's a superstar. Don't move him down.
He's a phenomenal player, but he's also on my avoid list this year as far as just where he's ranked within fantasy and what my expectation is for him in that Colts offense. I'm just projecting a little bit of a step back, which could be some bias on my end. Hopefully, I mean, for those drafting Colts, I'm wrong.
All righty, we're going to take our second break here. We get back, we're going to talk about one of Dan's favorite running backs. Okay, Dan, our next most underrated running back, Zach Charbonnet. I really do think that people are too low on Charbonnet. I don't think people realize how good Charbonnet is. I think he's been maligned as this like thorn in Kenneth Walker's side or whatever, when in reality he's just a very good player, and that's why he's been the thorn in his side, is because it makes sense to get him the rock, man. He's running back 8 in PPR points per touch. So this is in PPR formats, which we wouldn't think necessarily lends itself to Charbonnet's skill set. He's running back 8 in PPR points per touch since entering the league among running backs with 500 or more touches. The running backs who are ahead of him are Devon Achane, Jahmyr Gibbs, Christian McCaffrey, Bijan Robinson, David Montgomery, shout out Detroit offense, James Cook, Chase Brown. That's it. He's ahead of Derrick Henry. He's ahead of Breece Hall during that time. He's been very productive with his opportunities. The advanced metrics all look really good too. A fun stat on Charbonnet that I think is really cool that I found when I was digging into the Kenneth Walker stuff is Walker had a really high number of runs where he was hit at or behind the line of scrimmage, and he got blown up on those runs. He wasn't able to create anything. And I looked around the league and I'm like, well, there are a few guys who actually get positive yards on these runs. And it was like Jonathan Taylor, Bijan Robinson. It was just the best running backs, basically. The no-nonsense guys who are also elite talents. And Zach Charbonnet was on that list where he actually had positive yards on these runs where he was hit at or behind the line of scrimmage. And I just thought that was noteworthy. And I think that it makes sense that they've wanted to get him the ball more and more and more. And so now we've got this kind of weird situation where they draft a running back early, but the quotes on Jadarian Price haven't been ever like indicative of him being somebody who's going to step into like a workhorse role. And I, you might remember when they drafted him, I was like, I wonder if they just see this as kind of like a Kenneth Walker replacement or just a way to get explosives into the offense, maybe even in the return game or something like that. Like, I just don't know if this has to mean that he's going to be locked in the way that a round one running back typically is. And that's kind of what we've seen from the coach speak. So I've got Jadarian Price at running back 26 because I do think there's a lot of upside, but I'm getting pretty nervous, especially because they love Helani so much. People in the chat are saying that we should have Helani on the list. And it's like, what? How can we possibly evaluate Helani? We've seen Helani get like, what, 30 NFL touches or something? Like,
yep.
We can't. You guys are sick. here's where I have Charbonnet, running back 40, consensus estimate running back 45. It's sounding like he might be ready to start the season. So he would be moving then, for sure, would be moving up these rankings. I'm curious where you're at on the Seattle backfield.
Yeah, I think I still want to see how it plays out this training camp when it comes to Charbonnet and his health, obviously. But I'm probably higher in Price than I think most people are, and it seems like you will be as well. Because obviously the college profile wasn't indicative of a player who can be high volume, which I get, and didn't, obviously, you've brought up in the past, like the receiving limitations or potential limitations there with Price. But I just don't know year one coming off the ACL if we're going to see the same version of Charbonnet that we're hoping to see out there. So I think for me, it's more so along the lines of like, I'm taking the guy who's healthy, who they made the investment in, and who's going to be there at the beginning of the season for sure.
That's fair. I like Charbonnet in this range of the draft because I do think that he is a rare back who has a three down skill set. If you look at most of the running backs in this range, they're specific types of players. They're Tyjae Spears, RJ Harvey types of players. I think the three down skill sets in this range we know for sure is Charbonnet, and then the other ones are like maybe Jonah Coleman,
right?
Maybe Rashad White. Some of those
guys, Mark showed a little bit of it last year, but not much. Yeah.
And so that's pretty rare, and it's on an offense that has potential to be top half of the league for sure. And so I think there's an outcome where at the end of the year, he's just the best player in the backfield and Jadarian Price is mixing in as a change of pace type of player. Right. That's obviously like the best case outcome. But at this range, I think that's interesting. If you want to have a running back on your bench who you think has a chance to be meaningful and doesn't necessarily need an injury, I think his...
Yeah, it's a nice high upside play.
Yeah, he's a name worth knowing because he's... Charbonnet has played really well, for sure. Here he is in terms of yards after contact per attempt. He's above Jalen Warren and Rico Dowdle, who we already talked about. He's above James Cook and Jonathan Taylor. He's just below Devon Achane and like some of these top five names that we mentioned earlier in yards after contact per attempt last year. Good missed tackle forced rates too. Also top eight in the league. It was really a good year for him. There's a reason that he was cutting into Kenneth Walker's work so much.
It's funny, all these guys like him, Dobbins, Stevenson, all stand out to me as just the backs that are doing the little things that you don't see often unless you're watching the tape, which is the processing behind the line of scrimmage, the understanding of like how to set up your blocks. That's something Charbonnet's always been good at dating back to UCLA.
For sure. All right. It's time. Bill Kroski Merritt.
Oh, yeah. Your boy. The boy. The man.
I am really curious what's going to happen in Washington. It feels like drafters lately are leaning more towards Rashad White over Bill, and I don't know on that. Like, I think it's just because Rashad White has a receiving skill set, and the coaches have been talking about him in that way, but it's like, we knew that the moment that he signed there. Like, we've always known that. So I guess he was just underrated and people are just catching up or whatever. I don't know. It just seems like the more people think about this situation, they're like, we want the passing downs back here. And I don't know if that's right. I do think White will start the season in that role, but I also think that Bill has already shown us more as a rusher than White really ever did. I think it's pretty clear that White's not a very good rusher. And I just don't know. It's pretty rare that a team is going to be like incentivized to give a player like White the ball is kind of where I'm at. Like, I think he'll be out there to pass block and run some routes and maybe he'll get some targets because they don't have a great receiver room or whatever. But I think if you're looking at the backfield, the guy who's the most likely to like have plays designed to him and have the team want to get him the ball, it's Bill. And so I don't know what we're actually getting from White. Like, there's plenty of guys who play on passing downs that don't matter at all for fantasy, you know? Like, what's the actual outcome here for White? Is it more than like 8 to 10 touches per game? I'd be kind of surprised if it was.
Yeah.
I see him sort of similar to like Dylan Sampson or something like that, except his offense could be better. I don't know, these passing down specialists, like we'll talk about Tyjae Spears. I love Tyjae Spears. He's been on offenses that pass a ton, and he's been ridiculously efficient with those looks because he's really good. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all for fantasy, really, unless you're in a really, really deep PPR league or something.
Right.
It just doesn't. And that's kind of where I'm at with White is, I don't know, maybe he takes over as like the lead back if Bill struggles or something. But outside of that, I just don't think he's going to. And even if Bill were to struggle, I don't think he would take it over. I think people are looking at it being like receiving skill set, and he's kind of big, so he could be an every down back. But it's like, we've seen him get those opportunities and have them taken away because he's not very good at that. I don't think he's going to be a better rusher than Catron Allen. I don't even know if he's a better rusher than the guy they brought in UDFA that everybody loves. Robert Henry, I think is his name. Like all the draft sickos loved him coming in. Like, I just don't know, man, about Rashad White. He signed a really cheap deal to be a pass blocker for Jaden Daniels. Like, I don't know why we're so excited about that for fantasy.
No, I'm with you on this. I do think, to be fair, and I wonder if the stats back it up, White has improved a lot as a runner over his career in the NFL. Like what he started as in year one is a different player than what he is now. And what he started as year was a very unusable player as a runner. I wonder if the stats back that up or not, because I'm not sure if that's the case. That's basically just an eye test feel thing. But with that said, he's still not even at the level of what we saw from a rookie Bill Kroski Merritt. And that was down the stretch run, Bill did look like the player that he was hyped to be. And that's the thing. Last year, I didn't draft Bill anywhere because I thought the price got way out of control. And it really did toward the end of draft season, in my mind at least. It was in an auction where he went for like $18, huge bidding war. Two auctions, actually. There were huge bidding wars for him. But this year, that price is depressed. Like, because of what you said, the Rashad White hype, Bill's just seemingly falling. And there's real upside for him to just be the lead back in this offense right now, right? Like, there's Catron Allen in there who could compete with him. But he's a rookie and he might not get on the field because of that. And then there's Rashad White. And Rashad White, like you said, is not the runner that even Bill is. And I don't think they want him to be that either. So there's really less competition here than most spots and most backfields. But you're not paying that price at all. It's not baked into Bill's ADP at all.
Yeah. People are saying in the chat, this I think it's from Johnny here, that like Catron Allen gets the goal line work, White and Nichols get passing downs work, and Bill gets...
If that happens, of course.
It's pretty rare. That's pretty rare, that it's like really specifically compartmentalized that way.
Right.
I think it's a lot more likely that Catron Allen is not on the active roster.
Agreed.
That's another question in the chat. I was like, why did they draft another rookie? It's like, they drafted a rookie in round six because Chris Rodriguez walked. I don't know. Like, they just... You have to have bodies in the running back room.
Yes.
I think that was a good value where Catron Allen went, and that's probably why they took him there, is because he was relatively high on their board, and so they just took a running back. I don't see him as a significant threat to Bill, who they've really liked and did run well last year. I've been trying to find the stat, and I haven't been able to find it. I thought it was on my Twitter, but I looked up in reference to Ashton Jeanty, like running backs on runs where there was at least 1 yard before contact, how they did. And Bill was, it was like all the best running backs in the league.
And Bill.
And yeah, there were a couple other small sample guys like Blake Corum and J.K. Dobbins. But it was like those three and the best running backs in the league in terms of like yards per carry when they...
A broken Commanders offense.
Yeah, got to the line of scrimmage. And the thing is, Bill just didn't give him any of those. At the beginning of the season when the offense was healthy, he... efficiency-wise looked like one of the absolute best running backs in the league. But then it fell apart. There were no receivers and everybody was just crowding the line of scrimmage. Yeah, Ethan's in here referencing the stacked box rate. He's fighting the good fight for us. it was a really dysfunctional offense. They lost their quarterback, they lost their receivers, and everybody played the run. And so they're really their only hope was to just give it to Chris Rodriguez and hope he could get 4.5 yards per carry. I think it could look a lot better this year. New coordinator, healthier offensive line, and Jaden Daniels healthier too. And I think he brings a lot of explosive upside. So that's where I'm at with Bill. I think he's probably a top 25 runner in the league, something like that. I think he really does have a good blend of vision and patience and power and elusiveness and burst.
Burst for sure.
And so that can amount to something pretty cool if he is in a good offense. We'll see if that's what Washington is. We're not that far removed from Washington to have a very good offense.
Right. Yeah, I'm back in on him for this year.
Yeah. Okay. I'm getting distracted by the chat. They're comparing him to Kamani Vidal, and it's like, I love Vidal. I don't know what the comparison is, though. Like, Bill's Vidal's looking like the starting running back. Yeah, yeah, I don't really understand what the comparison is.
Unfortunately for him.
Bill's competition is a round six pick and a $2 million per year guy, whereas Kamai Vidal's competition is freaking huge, and you'd be terrified if you saw him. He's a number one like draft pick. Like, the guy's a monster. Okay, let's get back on track. Tyrone Tracy. Here, talk to us about Tyrone Tracy for a moment here, because I think people just don't really understand what Tyrone Tracy has done, who Tyrone Tracy is. I think he's been somebody who people have like gotten hyped about at times, and then it hasn't really amounted into anything huge. He's kind of reminds me of Bill that way a little bit, where like the sickos hype him up and then it isn't some massive breakout, and so he's like thought of as a disappointment. But I feel like he's had a pretty dang good start to his NFL career.
Yeah, and even Giants fans are pretty down on him and pretty like unassuming of what he can be. And what's interesting to me is down the stretch run, he really took over that lead back role once Cam Scadaboo went out. And he did it in a variety of ways. They used him, they split him out wide to be used as a receiver. It's a brand new coaching staff now, obviously, with Nagy and Harbaugh in there and Greg Roman and Bill Callahan, or not Bill Callahan, Brian Callahan, all kind of putting their mark on what the offense will be. And probably Nagy will have the biggest say there. But I can't imagine that they don't look at the tape from the end of last year and see what he was offering as a receiver from a route running standpoint and from a production standpoint, and try to use that in this offense. So big explosive back with explosive playability. We saw it more as rookie year than last year, but dating back to Purdue, his last year at Purdue, which was, again, yeah, he's an older prospect at 24, but he is new to the position of playing running back. He converted from receiver. He was top five in both yards after contact and forced missed tackle rate his final season at Purdue. There were very few backs coming into the draft with that profile. And I've seen that on tape. He's good after the contact, and he can create missed tackles and then kind of use his burst and breakaway speed. He was a just above 4.4 athlete at the combine. So really great athlete, older prospect, but on tape has shown a lot more than I think people are excited about at this point. The issue with him is, at least for me, and I think Ryan Heath has done a great job breaking this down. He tweeted this at least once or twice, Jacob. Not sure if you saw this. The issue for me with Tracy for fantasy is much better back on tape and by the numbers on zone runs. And the Giants had been a very zone heavy team under Dable and Kafka, and a worse player on power gap. And the Giants are going to be moving to a lot of power gap this year with Greg Roman. A, it's what we expect to see because it's Roman. B, I've listened to every single interview the Giants players have done this offseason. Vince Maliano talked about it. Andrew Thomas talked about it. And Jermaine Illuminar. They're like, we're going to get moving this year. Like, we're going to be pulling. We're on the move. So this is going to be a super power gap heavy run game, which is much better for Cam Scadaboo than Tracy. And that's, I think, what scares me the most. Like, does he fit the new offense?
That's interesting. Here's what I've got him for this year. It's above Kenny Gainwell. I'm curious if this is too high. It's a consensus says this is too high. It's above RJ Harvey.
I think I'm fine with it because there's the upside with him that you don't have with a lot of these other backs, which is like, yeah, it looks great now with Cam Scadaboo, but what if he has a setback and he's not able to start the year? They're going to lean on Tracy. They're not going to go to Singletary.
Yeah, he had 212 touches last year,
I think. And he was the guy down the stretch for them.
And yeah, has the receiving upside too. The rush scheme stuff is interesting. I feel like coming out of college, I could have projected him to maybe do well in a man gap scheme.
Power gap,
I thought he did pretty well in space. But do you agree? Like, sometimes I don't think that the stats really are relevant, especially with a smallish sample size.
I definitely think he's been better on zone runs than power gap from the tape.
Okay.
Vision is not his best attribute.
All right, last guy I want to talk about here, a big, big proponent. I think both Dan Schneier and I are of this player, but continues to not really matter. I've already hinted at it multiple times. It's Tyjae Spears.
Yeah.
Dude, listen to this. This is, of course, this is for PPR, so it is affected by the types of touches that Tyjae gets, which predominantly are coming on passing downs.
Sure.
PPR points per touch over the past three seasons, Devon Achane and Jahmyr Gibbs tied at first, 1.14 PPR points per touch, which, by the way, that's freaking insane. Yeah. That's like above Marshall Faulk and crap like that. Like, that's so insane. 1.05 for Christian McCaffrey, for reference. Like, seems he's been pretty dang good over the past few seasons. Those two are way above him. So 1.14 for those two, then 1.05 for CMC. And then fourth is Tyjae Spears at 0.99.
Sick.
And fifth, Kenny Gainwell at 0.97. I wanted to point him out too. I think he could potentially be underrated. Do you think that there's any chance that Gainwell just takes the work from our boy Bucky?
No, I do not. I'm high on Bucky.
Love to hear it. Yeah. Okay, so here's where I've got these guys ranked. I do have them ahead of Aaron Jones, but I could see Jones having some value early in the season. To me, with either of these two, it's like if the offense is better, Gainwell and Spears, who we're talking about right now, if the offense is better than expected, or if the running back in front of them gets hurt, then either of these guys I do think could be sneaky valuable, especially in PPR formats. But I mostly just wanted to point towards Tajay because he's been so freaking good, man. He's been on these terrible offenses. But all he does is create extra yards with the ball in his hands. He's so hard to tackle. Do you think that he could handle more than 12, 15 touches per game if needed?
He did it at Tulane.
He definitely did.
Like, I don't know. Obviously, it's a lower level competition there. You're not facing the same size athletes, but I just don't buy into that. He definitely can't do it if Pollard were to get hurt. So I think he can, and he's a phenomenal player. He really didn't lose any kind of production or efficiency when he had the bigger workload at Tulane. But the injuries have been an issue. They were an issue coming into the draft. I loved him as a prospect, but then he got that degenerative knee concern, and he's had injuries since then to his lower body. So he just seems like a player who we're going to love. He's going to be great on a per-touch basis, but it's not going to matter for fantasy still, unfortunately.
Totally fair. Yeah, they drafted a bigger body guy, but I do think Spears could get a lot more work if needed. We'll see what happens. Dylan Sampson is another guy who I really, really like, but I don't think we've seen enough from quite yet. He reminds me of Spears in some ways, but I think Spears is significantly better. I think Spears is so good, man.
Yeah, he's so good.
I'm curious if you had anybody you wanted to throw in the Tank Bigsby's of the world. So, and definitely, again, chat. We're about to wrap this up. If you want to, in the comments, leave us videos. I've seen Jordan Mason in the chat, Chris Rodriguez in the chat, Kenny Gainwell for sure. There's been a lot of comments in the chat here with different running backs alike. I think Chuba Hubbard is an interesting one. If we would have done this video after Chuba's breakout season, I would have given you all these metrics on how amazing Chuba was, you know, and now just like a year later after he played through injury, everybody's just assuming that Jonathan Brooks is going to steal that work. So there's the running back position is really fun and interesting where a lot of these guys can't emerge. So definitely leave us your comments.
Yeah, just for me, players that look good on tape but that are underrated, we haven't mentioned or just don't get mentioned a lot. You mentioned Blake Corum earlier. Just really good on tape, Blake Corum. I'm going to throw him in the mix there. Tank Bigsby, somebody I've loved for a while. Thought he looked great in Philly in his limited opportunities. Won't be a fantasy factor probably. Here's a guy who is, I think, going to be a fantasy factor that nobody drafts or cares about because he looked so bad last year.
And you're going to say Pacheco. Not.
Yes. I love Isaiah Pacheco.
All right. Wrap the show, Emma.
I just think, God, we're getting the Detroit RB2 for nothing. Like, how is this not a thing yet in fantasy? How are we not talking about this yet?
You're James Conner is Detroit RB2.
Hyping up Rashad White. What do I care about Rashad White? I got Drew Petzing's RB2 behind a good O-line on a high-scoring offense. Like, how is this not more of a thing yet in fantasy? So I got to throw him in there. Sean Tucker is great when he actually gets a chance. So he's a good call by you.
Ray Davis.
What'd you say? Ray Davis is solid. I like Ray Davis. That's a good pick. I wouldn't put him in the mix for me, but that's a good one. Let me think if there's one more I'm blanking on now that I was thinking about earlier in the show who I like on tape, who doesn't get a lot of opportunities. I'm trying to go through it. I mean, DJ Giddens is an interesting one for me. I kind of like what I saw in limited opportunities at the beginning.
Marshawn Lloyd. This is the year Marshawn
Lloyd.
No. That's how I know that I can get Dan in the shows if I say Marshawn Lloyd.
Yeah, okay. He's right. That's the end. That's it. We'll end it on Pacheco and Marshawn Lloyd. Have a great rest of your day, everybody. Keep it locked and loaded. Please hit the like button. Please subscribe. I saw earlier a couple of you said, I subscribe. Thank you so much for subscribing to the show. That's how you build our show. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hello, and welcome to Pluto Phone. If you know the name of the movie you'd like to see, just stream it for free on Pluto TV, where all your blockbuster favorites are landing all summer long. Catch Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy.
Fantastic!
The Matrix Trilogy.
Welcome to the real world.
Mean Girls.
Shut up!
Titanic.
I'm the king of the world!
And so much more. For showtimes, press nothing. They're free 24/7.
That is so fetch.
On Pluto TV. Stream now. Pay never.